Ben Rice went 2 for 5 in the two-hole. Aaron Judge 1 for 3 with 2 walks. And Cody Bellinger 3 for 4 with a homer, a double, and a walk. Combined 6 of 12, 5 runs, 3 ribbies, a double, 1 home run, and 3 walks. There you have it. That's the meat of the order. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905 is... The Yankees had their way with the Chicago White Sox last night, putting up 12 hits. They scored 10 runs. Warren, good enough, overcoming the error early on in the game. And the concerns there, obviously, for the Yankees defensively with Volpe at shortstop and some of the other issues that we've seen with this team. And really the overall sloppiness of the Yankees at times. But still, you know, the Yankees are 14 games over the 500 mark. They send Rodon to the mound later on tonight out in Chicago. And what you're really going to learn, it's not necessarily this series, not necessarily knocking around a White Sox team that right now is 38 games under 500, and they stink. It's really a case of when in the regular season, what you're going to learn about is the next 12 games after that for the New York Yankees. It's going to be when, you know, the schedule gets a little bit more difficult before the soft landing spot at the end when they take on the Twins, the Orioles, the White Sox, and then the Orioles to close it out. But 3 in Houston against the Astros, 3 at home against Toronto, 3 at home against Detroit, then 3 up in Fenway Park will take us to the middle part of the month of September as we're approaching or we're at Labor Day weekend. That's when you're going to learn a little bit something. But ultimately, as we talked to John Morosi earlier in the program about an hour ago from Fox Sports and MLB Network, you know, it's a wide open American League. So even though I might not be as bullish on the Yankees in 2025, especially from what I've seen so far in the regular season, all you need to do is go on a run in the month of October, and it's a wide-open American League. 888-808-1019. Totowa, New Jersey, we go. It's Charlie. It's the fan. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, Mark. Great show. First of all, I'm a huge Giant fan, so I'm kind of happy Mike is out of our division. But I think as far as Jerry goes, he could have got this done in March and got a much better deal. Something became personal with this somewhere along the way. I don't know what it was. I don't think it really was the money. Something terribly happened where they lost a great player. And a good friend of mine's a Dallas fan, and he's talking about, oh, yeah, but we got 2 firsts. He says, if Green Bay's plans come to fruition, their first-round picks in 26 and 27, they're going to be near the bottom anyway. It's not like you're getting a top 5. You're talking about Arch Manning. I think it was a big mistake, and I just think somehow, some way, Mark, it got personal, and that was what the decision was based on. I think they were ready to do the money, but something happened.
Yeah, something, and Charlie, I don't think you're wrong. You know, I heard Michael Irvin say something must have changed. There's some Cowboy fans that are celebrating, you know, the headache is gone, whatever it might be, or he didn't come through in the playoffs, the 4 playoff games, just 1 sack, or not as good as everyone thinks he's going to, thinks that Micah Parsons is. We've kind of run the full gamut. I don't think you make the argument today with any kind of sense of reality and make the argument that the Cowboys are better off for 2025 without Micah Parsons.
No, I agree.
And really, in the short term, that's all that matters. And here's the deal. The Green Bay Packers are making this move to try and win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That's what they're trying to do. And if the Packers win the Super Bowl, regardless of what those first-round draft choices turn out to be for the Dallas Cowboys, they win.
Yep. No, I agree with you, Mark. I mean, look what Cincy did. They put a Band-Aid on it with Hendricks. Why didn't you put a Band-Aid on it with him? Let's go back to the table. There's something that happened. And one last comment about my Giants. I'm just excited about the energy I see. The results, obviously, are yet to be seen. But unlike last year, I don't think I'm going to be turning the game off in the first quarter and saying, I can't watch this. I want them to be competitive. I want them to show progress, and I have hopes for a successful season and Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, I think those are realistic expectations. I think they are. And, you know, the Bengals did what they needed to do with Hendrickson because, I mean, they need him because the defense stinks. And they're going to score a lot of points with Burrow, Higgins, and obviously Jamar Chase. But the question is, can the Cincinnati Bengals, even with a new defensive coordinator and Al Golden, are they going to be able to stop anybody? And that remains to be seen. But You can answer that question a little bit more positively with Trey Hendrickson part of the role or part of the solution on defense in 2025. Chip in Delaware is up next to the fan. What's going on, Chip?
Hey, Moose, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
All right, thanks. So I think the best thing for the Giants fans is that the Mets and or Yankees have deep runs in October. Because I think this thought of the Giants having this massive turnaround season and we're winning all these more games and we're making a wild card and making a deep run in the playoffs.
That was one caller, Chip. I've never said that.
They're out of their minds.
Yeah, I've never echoed those sentiments. I never talked about the Giants making the playoffs. I thought
No, not you. Just the call after call that are like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a turnaround season and we're gonna make the wild card, and these people are delusional.
Chip, you know what? You know what? But Chip, I'll let you continue. I'm not going to cut you off, right? I'll let you continue to make your point. You know what that is? The Giant fan is hopeful.
Oh, right, absolutely.
You know what's refreshing? We know what's refreshing, especially, you know, we're not debating Daniel Jones on a day in, day out basis.
Oh, well, thank God for that.
You know, that's refreshing. Is it not? That we're talking about the Giants are going to have an identity on defense, that they've got a quarterback, a young quarterback in Jackson Dart, that looked the part, yes, in the preseason, but has looked the part. You've got a coach
that's
got his moxie back a little
bit.
The Giant fan has been in the darkness for a while here, you know, outside of 1 year, 3 years ago. So if the Giant fan wants to be happy, hopeful, Labor Day weekend, feel good about themselves, even facing a daunting schedule, you know, I'm all for it, you know, because I do think, as I mentioned going into the last break, I do think this is the best roster that Joe Shane has put out on the field. Now, what does that equate to? We'll find out together during the course of the regular season.
Right. Yep. Yeah. 3 years ago, right? The wild card, the win over Minnesota. You know, take that aside. The last 8 years, the best record this team has seen is 6-10, right?
Yeah.
And I understand we made the wild card 3 years ago, beat Minnesota, a bad Minnesota team. That team finished the season, the last 10 games, 3-6-1. That record is more representative of what that team was than the first, you know, the 6-1 start. And the constant theme over the last 8 years has been offensive line play. And we continue to not improve the offensive line. And I don't understand why people think there's going to be different results.
Well, I think, Chip, I do think when an offensive line stays together, I do think you start to yield better results. Now, you can question the talent level of this offensive line. Look at Runyon at one of the guards, Smits at one of the center, Luminor at the right tackle position if Andrew Thomas is healthy playing left tackle. I think there are guys on the offensive line that can get it done. Like Thomas, when he's healthy, is a premier left tackle in the National Football League. The question you have is whether or not he is healthy. So is this the best offensive line in the NFL? No. Is it the worst offensive line when you're looking at personnel in the NFL? No. Can they be middle of the road? Yeah, I think if Thomas is healthy, I think they can be middle of the road. If they're middle of the road, can they operate offensively? That's like the big question you have to ask yourself as you're, whatever you're doing on this holiday weekend, can the offensive line go out there and be good enough to where I can operate an offense? And I think if things work out well, that they can be good enough to operate an offense.
Right, and the defense has to be better than they were last year, because the offense can be good, but if the defense is on, or the defense can be good, but if they're on the field for 75% of the game,
then they're going to get exhausted. They're human beings. It's not played by robots. Yeah, then they're going to get worn down. Chip, I don't disagree. I think there is, and this is not waxing poetic. This is not drinking the Kool-Aid, putting the Giant underwear on. There is talent on that defense to be excited about. There just is. Lawrence, Thibodeau, Lawrence, Burns, Carter, Thibodeau, Okereke, Holland, Paulson, Adebo, like there's guys on that that's real, that's legit, that you can look at and say to yourself, yeah, I think this Giant defense is going to be pretty good. But as you mentioned, Chip, and do love the name Chip because it's my dog's name, not insulting you, but it's a great name. I think there's a reason that all three phases need to work together. That's why coaches talk about it. So the offense got to go out there and do their job, have sustained drives, be able to score points. Not like they need to score 35 points a game in order to win games, but the defense can't be on the field for an eternity and get exhausted.